The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. Welcome to KFAR Radio, broadcasting live at KFARradio.com, also on the FM dial at 97.5 and on the AM dial at 660. Name is Melissa Burnett, here running the station for David Pruz today, as our beloved mayor is serving on grand jury duty. So good luck to him as he, you know, gets all that fun stuff happening in our courts. Today's guest, of course, has to do with Fairbanks and everything local, and we've got Miss Joni Skillbred here. Welcome today, Joni. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. So, I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, so today, tell us, what's the show about? What are we doing?
Today, we are going to talk about the Stroker family.
Ooh.
And the First National Bank of Fairbanks. They had a, you know, they had quite a big footprint here in Fairbanks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, multi-generational.
Yeah, there, you know, there's a lot of families here like that, too. I mean, ones that just come in at the beginning and some of the powerful names we've got going on here.
And, they're real intermeshed with a lot of those old-time Fairbanks families.
Yeah.
You know, they're intermarried and, you know, there's uncles and cousins and aunts and, you know. So we're going to stick kind of to the core Stroker family here.
To the past.
We'll mention some of the, you know, some of those family ties, but the focus will be on Ed Stroker Sr., Ed Stroker Jr., and Bill Stroker.
Oh, fantastic. So where do we start?
Well, actually, our story starts in 1877, believe it or not, in San Francisco, California.
Ooh.
And this is when Edward Henry Stroker was born. So he was a native of San Francisco, and, you know, he grew up there, and as a young man, between roughly the years 1890 and 1900, he was playing semi-pro baseball.
Oh.
He had a thing about baseball.
Yeah.
And he played in, you know, semi-pro down there. And in Sacramento and San Francisco, and the league that he played on developed later on into the Pacific Coast League.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
America's favorite pastime, baseball.
Yeah, and he was pretty good at it, you know. he was always pretty athletic. But he decided to come north like a lot of young men did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a lot of opportunity, but Alaska also offered not just opportunity, it offered adventure.
Yeah.
You know, and young men, you know, the last thing they want to do is stay home and have their parents telling them what to do.
Nothing much has changed in that.
And so he got with some other guys, and they ended up in Bristol Bay and the Kuskokwim region in 1900, and they spent the winter there.
Mm-hmm.
And what exactly he was doing there, I didn't have time to actually delve too far into that. But he was there for one winter, and I'm sure that it was probably pretty adventuresome and probably not that much fun.
Right.
You know?
Well, if you think about winter way back when.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there really isn't anything out there.
No.
But he was there. So then he returned to California, but he liked Alaska enough that he decided to come back up. And in 1903, he came back up and he was in Valdez.
Oh.
And he started out in Valdez and he was a bartender at the Montana Saloon.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he worked for a year doing that gig, and then he decided to come up to Fairbanks in 1904, and he walked here from Valdez.
Walked?
Yeah.
Didn't like try to take one of those old time buggies.
Well, he wasn't a bank president at this point. You know, he was a bartender.
That's a long trek.
It is.
Especially by foot.
It is. Yes. And, well, a lot of people came here that way.
Right, yeah. No, I mean, the Gold Rush days, and it's,
And usually when you, most people that made that trip in the spring. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to do it in the summer because of the swamps.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a road like it is today.
It was a little trail.
Right. But, you know, he was athletic, and he was tough, and he was young, and he was determined. And, yeah, and so he came up here to Fairbanks. And, you know, so you get here, you were a bartender, you saved up your money, and you walk to Fairbanks, and you get to Fairbanks, and you look around, and you go, okay.
Okay.
Now what? you're going to have to find some way to support yourself, you know. So he started out here, he took a job as a mail carrier. And he mushed dogs between Fairbanks and Tanana.
I was going to ask.
Packing mail.
That's
that
awesome.
Was his first job here.
Wow.
And, you know, so, you know, it's like even to this day, if you, you know, if you're going to be a committed lifelong Alaskan, you can't have very many things on your list that you're going to say, I'm not going to do that.
Well, and what's funny is, you know, a lot of these longtime Alaskan families, they all started out somehow as, like, mail carriers. It, even my family goes back in the day to carrying mail with sled
fur
dogs.
Fur trapping.
Yeah, fur trapping, all
wood
this.
Wood cutting.
Yeah.
Mail carrying, some gold mining.
Yeah.
That, those were the big occupations. Yes.
That's absolutely just amazing.
You got to start somewhere.
Got to start somewhere.
That's right. And he started out carrying the mail, and then he, on the side, was looking at mining and prospecting. Of course, you can't be here and not be in the middle of that. It was the center of everything here. And, you know, so he, you know, he was learning about that. And but he also was doing bookkeeping, and he got hired on at ER People's Store in 1905, and he worked there until 1918, and he was their bookkeeper. So, you know, he was a numbers guy, and, you know, he did very well at that. And while he was doing that, he was playing baseball in Fairbanks all these years. You know, in the summer, he was out there on the field, and he played for whatever team. Sometimes, you know, they would have set teams, but you may not have enough show up from one team, you know.
So
and
you
so
mixed
you, you mixed them up.
Hey, we do that still to this day.
Whatever it took, you know,
it was
baseball. And baseball was so big here.
Oh, yeah.
And they usually played on Sundays because Sunday was the day off. That was the one day off for everybody. And, like, July 4th, that was the big baseball
day of the year.
And then, well, and the solstice, you know, they always did the midnight game.
Yep.
But baseball was really big, and it was actually big enough that it was competing with the Catholic Church. I think it was Father Monroe who complained to the city council that the baseball games, the noise from them, were drowning out his services in the church.
Yeah. Your crowd's too loud. Please knock it off.
Yes. But he was just, I mean, he played until his mid-40s, competitively played. He was like a favorite player here in Fairbanks, and everybody loved, you know, watching him play. And he garnered a lot of longtime friendships and business relationships, certainly, as a result of that. When he got too old to play, then he became an ardent spectator. That was what he called himself.
Never let go of the sport. I love it.
Never let go of the sport.
Couldn't play it, went and watched it.
Yes,
well,
yes.
We're going to take our first break, and we will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Tune in to Shooter's Corner, your source for news and conversation regarding guns, local events, and your Second Amendment rights, with your host, Laura Berkowitz. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design, an Alaskan company offering products that help you get the most out of your car or truck. Moose lights, auto starts, bug shields, spray-on bed liners, signs, graphics, and more. Visit Auto Trim Design and listen in every Thursday morning at 11 to Shooter's Corner, right here on KFAR Radio. You've sat in that chair for years. You love that chair. But something isn't right. There's a wiggle that wasn't there. Now you're missing a cap screw that definitely was there. Need a fastener? If it hooks up, holds on, hangs on, clips on, glues on, bolts on, screws in. If it fastens stuff together, Sentry has it. And the largest selection of nuts, bolts, screws, and washers in the interior. Standard to metric, chrome, galvanized, stainless. Sentry Hardware. What you need right now.
Weather this hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Call Long today to find out about a UV filtration and ionization system that will help reduce sick days in your workplace. 561-3044 or find out more at long.com.
KFAR Weather.
Chance for snow today, otherwise cloudy. Highs level off around 8 above, winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely again tonight. Lulls level off around 1 above. Cloudy skies expected. Snow likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 8 above. Cloudy skies. About an inch of snow tonight. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back to Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, broadcasting live 97.5 FM and 660 AM, also online, KFARradio.com. If you'd like to call in and have any questions for Joni, you could do that at 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. Talking about the Stroker family and baseball and early days of Fairbanks.
Oh, yes.
I love it.
Well, so during this time that Ed was playing baseball, he ended up getting married to Charlie Creamer's sister, Maddie.
Uh-huh.
And she, at that time, was Maddie Gertrude Anderson. And she was Charlie Creamer's sister. And she had been married to a man by the name of Ernst Anderson. And I'm not sure what happened to Ernst, but she did have a son. Everybody in town knew him. His name was Merwin, but everybody knew him as Buster.
Ah, yes.
And Buster was a very revered person in mm-hmm. this community, as far as I can tell, you know, from what the newspapers say and everything. So, Ed Stroker Sr. married Maddie in October of 1915, and Buster became his stepson. And this is important because this is going to repeat a little bit later in the family.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's married into the Creamers. That's a big time early day Fairbanks family.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 years later, he took a job at the bank. And this was in 1918, and it was the First National Bank of Fairbanks. And that bank is still with us today, only today we know it as Key Bank. It's just, you know, it morphed into Key Bank. And I remember sitting at the desk of his son when his son was president of the bank. I went in with a friend of mine who was asking him for money.
Well, what's great is that even, like, connects KeyBank to our earliest days.
That's it does.
That's really amazing.
It does.
Yeah.
And it's always been roughly, for most of its history, the First National Bank was right there on that block.
Right.
And it's, you know, it just goes way back.
That's so cool.
And it's still with us today,
yeah.
You know. So, but anyway, Ed Sr., so him and Maddie, they get married, they have couple of sons, mm-hmm. and they have a daughter. So there's Ed Jr., named after his father, of course. So I'm going to refer to, I'll call him Senior, and then
Junior.
I'll call Junior, because otherwise this is going to get a little too convoluted.
Ed and Ed.
And then Bill, the son, and then a daughter that we're going to get into later on. So they had three children. And then this stepson.
Mm-hmm.
And so Senior worked his way up. He started out as a cashier, and he worked his way up. And within 12 years, he was made the president of the bank. And that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And he took that job very, very seriously. You know, and during his time at the bank, you know, he really looked at Fairbanks. And he also, you know, part of being a bank president is to pay attention to what's going on in the banking and industry in general, worldwide, nationwide, in the territory, and in your community. And, you know, banks play such an important role within our communities, mm-hmm. you know, developing. They help finance yeah. what happens here, not just personal finances, no. but they also help finance public projects, too,
Absolutely.
From time to time. And the bank president giving support, just, you know, general support. So you see articles in the newspaper all the time about one of the Strokers being in support of this project or that project. And that really weighs heavy to garner other public support because of their position in the community was that important. One of the first things he worked on was getting, he supported airmail for our communities, which was really important. And him being a dog driver,
yeah.
driving the mail, he right away recognized, hey, you know, we can put this mail on an airplane.
Make it a little bit faster.
Yeah. This would be really a
Ingenuity.
Whole lot better. He was also in support of the dredging up at Coal Creek for the Coal Creek Mining Company. You know, he was very instrumental in helping them get financing for their dredging operations. He was always, the Strokers were always in lockstep with the Chamber of Commerce mm-hmm. and, you know, supporting local stuff. He worked on, in 1936, he was working on flood control.
Wow.
He was, you know, talking about that. And we also had housing and hotel shortages, you know, and recognizing the bank can definitely play a positive role
yeah.
in these things. And he took his job very seriously. They also opened the bank in a new facility, and it was some of the first air conditioning in Fairbanks.
And of course, it would go in a bank.
They were talking about that in the article, and I thought that was pretty interesting. And modern lighting. And the other thing that he did that was really interesting was he valued our local resources, and seven of the employees there at the bank, which was about half of the employees, were graduates from University of Alaska.
Oh, wow.
They were local.
Yeah.
And he greatly valued that and supported the university by, you know, giving those kids jobs, which was amazing. But all was not always good with Senior. He had a thyroid issue, and he was having to, as he got older, having to travel to the States for treatment in the late 30s. And one of the things I saw, he would come back, and during the Depression, you know, there was all this issue with the banks. And he would come back, when he would come back to town, there would be these big articles about him reassuring Fairbanks that, you know, our banking industry here was solid.
Yeah, that we'd be okay.
That we're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, he played a very big leadership role in that. So during the 30s also, Buster won the Ice Classic down in Nenana, you know, the Nenana yeah. Ice Classic. And Buster, you know, he had his own really interesting history. He went on to do a lot of things, but, you know, he also worked there. And
Buster has ties to my family, so it's...
Does
yeah,
he?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah,
so, well, see, there yeah. you go.
I was like, oh, Buster, I knew.
Yeah. And the Stroker home, him and Maddie, they built a home, and it was located at 5th and Noble. So it's just
right there.
Straight across from where we're sitting today. Yeah. And I believe it's, what, a parking lot now?
Yeah, Griffin Park, somewhere over something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not there today. But their home was a showcase. They made sure, I mean, it was landscaped, and they
Beautiful.
Had native yeah. flowers and plants along with some imports. And they took a lot of pride in that. And Senior also encouraged other people in town to beautify mm-hmm. their properties. So that was, you know, that was kind of neat. he, along with J.G. Rivers and Charles Clasby, were some of the organizers of the early, you know, in the 30s, of the dog derbies and the famous ice carnivals. And you've seen the pictures of all the ice sculptures and stuff right on the river, the big thrones. And, you know, he was one of the organizers of that. And the cashier at the bank was the guy who carved all of those ice thrones.
Wow.
A guy by the last name of Visca, who was also really interesting. So, you know, he really supported Fairbanks. And
You know what I love about this is that this history with the Stroker family and just with everybody, how fair, like, you know, you always hear stories about the old days and how Fairbanks was built up on gold and the gold rush and things like that. But what's missing is all of this localness. How, yes, we built it on that, but it took everybody to make Fairbanks work. It took everybody, and everybody looking and realizing that, hey, we can do this. And as a community and as a partnership, we can build something fantastic. And here we are today. It's quite beautiful.
Well, there were two kinds of people here, and it's still the same today.
Yeah.
There's boosters and knockers.
Right.
And he was definitely a booster.
100%.
And he saw possibilities rather than seeing reasons that you can't succeed. He always assumed success.
Yeah, you can do anything.
And he taught his children to do that.
That's awesome.
It was, yeah, it's a great thing. So in the 40s, or in 1938, Junior, Ed Stroker Jr., graduated from the New Mexico Military Institute at Boswell. And he also did a stint in the Air Force, and he was a pilot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And in 1938, after graduating from the New Mexico Military Institute, he came back up to Fairbanks, and he came up on the boat to Valdez, and he delivered a car, a brand new car that had been shipped up for somebody here.
Yeah.
And he had to deliver it to the NC company, who was, I guess, selling the car, or maybe it was a car for somebody, you know, one of their mucky mucks there.
Yeah.
The article didn't say, but I thought that was kind of interesting. So he drove the car up. And in 1940, it was a really big year for the bank. Senior spent 5 weeks outside getting treated for his thyroid condition. And Junior went with him, and his health was really getting iffy.
Yeah.
You know, and while he was gone, the bank was robbed. It was the very first armed robbery in Fairbanks' history.
Oh, and he's dealing with his illness.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. And this guy, he was brand new here.
Yeah.
He had only been in Fairbanks 2 days. He got here. He checked into the Big Eye. He was unemployed, didn't have any money, walked into the bank with a savage rifle.
And robbed it.
Pointed it at the teller and said, "I mean it."
Oh, wow.
Got out with $1,000. And Junior was in the bank when it happened. And the guy, he ran out the door, and then he started walking, and he's walking across the Cushman Street Bridge, and Junior's following him, and he's going, hey, you just took our money. You got to give it back. And this guy says,
No, go away.
And he turns around and points a gun at Junior and says, you know, I'll blast you. And so Junior kind of backs off and watches him, and he watches him go into the Big Eye, you know. The Big Eye bar, it used to have a hotel above it.
Yeah.
And he watches him go into the Big Eye, and he's like, calls, you know, by then the cops are there, and he says he's in there. The cops went in there and got him and, you know, arrested him.
Didn't even try to, like, run away. He goes into...
Yeah, he was a fugitive for only about 2 hours. But he never had to worry about a job again, because, you know, that was like that's a minimum 15-year sentence on armed robbery. 100%. It was the very first armed bank robbery in Fairbanks' history.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And the Strokers got to deal with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. But despite that, the bank that year achieved a record. They had a record year, and they had over $4 million in resources by 1940, and that was because of Senior's capabilities.
Awesome. All right. Well, time for our next break. We're going to turn on this bumper music that Mr. Pruz loves so much. And we get back more with the Stroker family in the early days of Fairbanks.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Biden today announcing the U.S. is sending 31 M1 Abrams tanks to Ukraine.
These tanks are further evidence of our enduring, unflagging commitment to Ukraine and our confidence in the skill of the Ukrainian forces.
Germany is also sending Leopard tanks, a Kremlin spokesman calling the move a disastrous plan. A farm worker accused of killing 7 people in back-to-back shootings at 2 Northern California mushroom farms now faces 7 counts of murder and 1 count of attempted murder. 66-year-old Chun-Li Zhao making a first court appearance today in California. 2 people have been killed, 5 injured in a knife attack on a train in Germany.
On a regional train between the northern cities of Kiel and Hamburg, the alleged attacker was arrested, but we've not been told anything about his identity. Officials say all possible motives are under investigation.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
It's the season of legislative priorities, and you can add the Greater Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce to the list of agencies and organizations talking about what they want to see the 33rd legislature accomplish. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports on Monday the Chamber's board approved its 2023 priorities, which include workforce development, a resilient supply chain, infrastructure, and resource development. We believe those are core issues impacting our member businesses and organizations in practical and real ways, Patrick Cotter, the Chamber's board chair, said in a release announcing the priorities. As Fairbanksans, we've always faced challenges in our economy, but the long-term effects of the pandemic have amplified those issues. The release says for the past several years, the Chamber has focused heavily on advocating for a long-term, sustainable fiscal plan as a top priority, but the organization is committing to focus on other areas to best bolster economic growth, stability, and resiliency. Chamber members will head to Juneau for its annual legislative fly-in February 14th through the 16th.
Online at KFAR660.com.
If these cold drafts are making you think about replacing your windows and patio doors, I'm Chris Dunn, the local owner of Renewal by Anderson, and I have some great news. We've postponed our 2023 price increase until January 31st. So this is your last chance to pay 2022 window and patio door prices. Before January 31st, save 20% on every window and patio door. And with our Smart Pay programs, no interest, no payments, no money down for 12 months. Our list prices on windows and patio doors will literally never be as low as they are right now. So call to get 2022 prices and save 20% on every window and patio door. Plus, you won't pay anything for 12 months. Call before January 31st and you'll still get Renewal by Anderson's 2022 prices. Call 885-3100. 885-3100. That's 885-3100.
Arctic RV is a proud sponsor of Shooter's Corner with your host, Laura Berkowitz, for the latest news and conversation in the world of guns and your Second Amendment rights. Arctic RV helps their customers exercise their personal freedoms by getting out to play in Alaska and staying there longer. Although they are closed for now, they reopen this spring on April 3rd. Alaska plays rough, so rough it in style with Arctic RV. Listen in every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, right here on KFAR.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back to KFAR Problem Corner, streaming live, 660 AM, 97.5 FM, and also online, kfarradio.com. If you have any questions for Joni, you have a story to share about early Fairbanks, you can call in 458-8255-458-TALK. Back to you, Joni.
Yeah, so we were talking about Ed Stroker Sr., and there's just a couple mentioned things to wrap up with him. In 1929, he ran for city council and held a two-year seat there. And, of course, while he was there, you know, he cleaned up the city's finances. And they took his advice very seriously,
well, yeah,
as they should have.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And during the war, he was put in charge. There was an order, the Order of St. John, and it was a war relief group. Mm-hmm. And he was the Fairbanks representative. He got a letter saying, you've been appointed to this. Now you start collecting.
Voluntold.
Voluntold, which he did,
yeah.
He did his part there. As his health was starting to fail, you know, in the 40s, you know, it became apparent that, you know, you've been the president of the bank all these years.
Mm-hmm.
You've built up this wonderful thing, but what are you going to do with it? I'm sure that he was starting to feel his mortality a little bit. So, you know, he had both of his sons working at the bank.
Yeah.
You know, and he was definitely a legacy-minded kind of person. And so he had his namesake, Junior, take over as president of the bank. And in the meantime, the other son, Bill, he came on board as head cashier, replacing Mr. Visca. And I think that this change in command was not like the most peaceful kind,
right?
Because the newspaper article, when I was reading it, it said that the two guys that were ousted had no comment, which usually means, you know, they don't have anything good to say about
it. Yeah, right.
It.
They don't have nothing nice to say. Don't say anything.
But
at
Junior
all.
Was made president of the bank, and then about 8 years later, Senior passes away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, Fairbanks really lost a lot with that.
Yeah.
But Junior, he took that job very seriously, you know, and he went on to do a lot. So you take over Daddy's bank.
Yep.
And, you know, you want
to
make your own mark. So Junior takes on, well, all right, we're going to update this bank. This bank looks like an old antique, you know, and so we're going to have a new modern bank. And so the bank gets rebuilt. I believe it's the Aurora Energy building today.
Yeah, okay.
And it was so nice, and they had all brand new safe deposit boxes, and they had pictures of all the employees, you know, they're posing with all of the new equipment and everything, and it was quite a big deal in Fairbanks. They also worked on, you know, they said in this ad that I found for it, for the grand opening, you know, since Fairbanks was 3 years old, you know. And I think it's funny that the bank moved, you know, it was like, it was a kind of an Art Deco-y looking building,
yeah.
Cement building. And they clad it over now with just these square tiles. It's
yep.
kind of ugly looking.
Yep.
But at the time, you know, it was a pretty swank place. And then it's just dwarfed by the Key Bank building,
yeah.
which it later just kind of moved in there. And I thought that that was pretty neat. So Mrs. Stroker, Maddie Creamer, she died in 1954 in Seattle. And, you know, that kind of ended that era. And just a couple years later, so, you know, Senior was pretty athletic. Junior, not as athletic, but he did like dog mushing.
Mm-hmm.
And his son was very involved in dog mushing. His son raced.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, lived out of Salta. And
yeah.
he was in all the dog races and everything else. So his dad really supported him. So Senior They named the North American after Junior.
I didn't know
after
that.
After Ed Stroker. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes. And they donated race purses and and all of that. And so Junior, he, just like his father, he worked really hard on, you know, the bank's role in making Fairbanks a great place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he equally recognized that and carried that torch through. You know, he was he ran for city council, lost.
Mm-hmm.
He ran for city council in 1961, but he lost that bid. He worked hand in hand with the city council for projects that we had. He was in charge of the A-67. He was one of the people in charge of that. He was in charge of the finances of it. And unfortunately, it went bankrupt.
Mm.
And that was a centennial celebration at Alaskaland. They had the big grand opening and all of that. And then the flood came and it wrecked everything.
Yeah.
And they were in the hole really bad on that event. And he got a little bit of bad PR from that. But, you know, he didn't let it stop him or get him down too much. In 1961, you know, he lost his bid for city council, and his wife divorced him.
Mm.
And so she left, and he got out of the bank. You know, he was done with it all, and Bill Stroker, his brother, took over as bank president. Or, no, his brother took over as vice president in 1963. By 1965, the stockholders elected Bill Stroker as president of the bank. And Ed Stroker stepped aside, and he married Mrs. Wiegert, and they had a home here in Fairbanks. And it was in 1967, after Ed Stroker stepped aside, you know, that he's this A-67 chief. And then in 1967, he died.
Oh, wow.
During all of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he knew when Bill was made, he was ill, and Bill was made vice president of the bank. And Bill went on to, was the one who really went on past Junior and really carried the legacy of his father forward. Bill was involved in
everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
And he was a musician, and he was, you know, he was athletic, and he did so much in Fairbanks. He was a very, very loved resident of Fairbanks. And I think probably the thing that I remember the most about him at first was Golden Days. Because his bank had the big train. Do you remember the big train?
I don't.
Oh, you weren't here?
No, I wasn't here yet.
Oh, my gosh. They had this big train. It was afloat, and it went down the street, and it had, like, one car would have can-can girls dancing on it, and another car would have a band playing on it.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
It was this whole big thing.
Yeah.
Really fancy, over the top. You couldn't believe it, and it always brought up the end of the parade.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, anybody who was here and saw that really misses it today.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, remember the train?
Wow.
And that was Bill Stroker. And he, all his employees, you know, they rode the train.
Yeah.
You know, they did whatever. They used to put on, like, Broadway shows.
Well, now I
on
see
this.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a musician. He played the cornet. And he played in high school, and then he played when he was at the military academy, and then he played when he came back to Fairbanks. He played, you know, and as an older person, he was with some other guys, and they were known as the Frigidaires. And they played. I mean, Bill was getting quite elderly, and he's still playing gigs around town.
That's awesome.
You know, and they had a little three-piece band, and it was really, you know, a very cute thing that they did.
That's awesome. Well, time for our last and final break. When we get back, more on Fairbanks and the Stroker family.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
We need cars.
That's right. We need up to 150 quality used vehicles to fill our lots, and we'll pay you top dollar. Why trade that clean used car to a dealer or go through the hassle of selling it yourself? Just stop into Affordable Used Cars. You'll get a quick 10-minute appraisal on your vehicle. It's that easy. Plus, at Affordable Used Cars, our sales staff will make sure you always get a hassle-free experience. Remember, nobody beats an affordable deal. Nobody.
So how's your memory? Can you remember this name? It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. It's pretty simple, but it's a name you want to be familiar with. You see, good plumbers who can get to your problem quickly and do a top-quality job fixing it all at a reasonable price, well, let's simply say they're scarce. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical is quick to the problem, and they're quick to the solution. And when you have no heat, or you have a bad plumbing leak, your HVAC isn't working, or your pipes are frozen, you want your problem fixed. So who do you call? I told you to remember the name. It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Boilers and water heaters, snow melt systems, of course, drain cleaning. They also own Victory Drains. And you'd be surprised how much more. So look, you don't have to try to remember the phone number. Just remember the name and look it up from there. One more time now. Say it with me. Living Waters. Right. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Okay. Well done.
Weather is being brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoor. Your next outdoor adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies today with a chance of snow. Temperatures reach up to 8 above. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, snow likely 1 above. Overcast tomorrow, snow likely 8 above. About an inch of snow tonight. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back to Problem Corner, streaming live, kfarradio.com, on 97.5 FM and 660 AM. If you'd like to call in, 458-8255, that's 458-TALK. Talking about the early days of Fairbanks, the Stroker family, and gotta tell you, Joni, I am tripping over this train that was in the Golden Days Parade. I wish I was a part of, like, I could have seen this.
I'll have to email you a picture of it. It was pretty spectacular.
That's awesome.
Yes. So Bill, you know, like his father, he likes sports.
Yeah.
He loved baseball.
Love baseball.
Yes.
And I think I would have gotten along with all
Fairbanks'
of them.
Baseball team is the
Gold Pair.
The Panners. Oh, yes. That
love
was Mr.
Panners.
Stroker's team.
That's
and
awesome.
He was a diehard Panners supporter.
That's awesome.
He made sure that the Panners were going to have whatever they needed to be successful.
Yeah.
You know, he really boosted them. And just, you know, he was. It was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And without that kind of support, they never could have achieved the longevity that they have mm-hmm. today, you know. And it takes for a community to have great things like that. Yeah. It takes people to be behind it.
Yeah. People
you can't
care.
Sit on the fence.
No, you got to care. You got to put love into
all
it.
All you people out there listening, get off the fence.
Get off the fence,
get off
please.
The fence. And don't be a knocker. If you're a knocker, go somewhere else.
Yes,
go to
no.
Anchorage.
Please go to Anchorage if you're
yes.
a knocker.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we need more boosters here.
We do. Well, yes. You know, that's the thing. You hear all these stories, all these families that are so involved and they help build us up and they help do all these things. It's time to get back to that more,
yeah.
You know, get
yeah.
people behind things, get off the fence. Let's get out there and support our local community.
Okay, so I'm going to be really nice.
Okay.
Dave's one of my favorites. You know,
we're going to pick on Dave.
Well, he's just, you know, he gets it.
He does.
He understands that. He's a person who makes it possible yeah. for things to happen. And, you know, the Strokers were that way.
Yes.
So, Bill, you know, the Gold Panners, that great, rich history,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Strokers played a big part in that. And, you know, I think that that's really just absolutely wonderful. You know, there's an article here, 9 school bond projects will be on the ballot.
Wow.
And you know, Bill Stroker, he played a role in that. You know, he felt that that was important.
Yeah.
He made sure that things were, he supported the school district. He supported education. It was to his benefit to do so. One thing that happened in 1971 while he was the bank president, though, is that they were tearing down the Nevada Saloon.
I've seen pictures of the Nevada.
Yeah, well, when the demolition was happening, they had a drive-up window for the bank. It was a canopy, you know, kind of like the gas station when you go under the canopy for the gas pumps. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like that. And the contractor tearing down the building next door screwed up. And the bank screwed up because part of the support for that canopy depended on that building that got torn down and the canopy collapsed.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then they just never put it back in again. You know, decided, yeah. So anyway, the hospital, the Fairbanks Memorial Hospital, the Strokers were big in getting the new hospital built. Yeah. Because before it was over there where Denali State Bank is.
Yeah, that church building, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my father-in-law was born in there. That's craziness.
They really, you know, Bill worked really hard to support that.
Yeah.
And to get that done. And so it was, you know, it was all, there. You can see their footprint.
Yeah.
All everywhere. Over Fairbanks. One thing Bill Stroker is also known for is he did not like environmentalists. and so, you know, a lot of Alaskans don't like environmentalists,
yeah.
But that does not mean that they're anti-environment.
Right.
They are anti book learned city people. I'm trying to think of a good way to say this. Yes, who tried to make Alaska into California.
Yeah.
He had no time for that.
No, and that's what most of it is. We're anti trying to turn this into Cali.
Yes, and he was very well, he was outspoken about that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't come here and stick a stick in and stir everything up and wreck everything that we have here.
Yeah.
You need to understand that
this
you
is Fairbanks.
Know, this is Fairbanks.
I promise you that's the way it would still be.
Yes, he was absolutely wonderful at defending Fairbanks. He also helped small groups with fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they would have projects and he would see value in it.
Yeah.
And he would help them by offering advice, offering services in the way that, oh, just bring that over to the bank and I'll make my employees do that for you.
Okay.
In his bank, you had a variety of jobs to do, not just this one job.
Yeah, not just telling and
Yeah, and also in getting them, putting them in connection with funding that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so big groups, small groups, it was just absolutely wonderful.
And it seems they paved the way, and I know that a lot of banks do this, but the Fairbanks banks and Key Bank in the beginning days really paved the way for the way that the banks are run now. Even today, you see Key Bank and our interior banks, mm-hmm. and they give to sports teams. They help fundraise. They go into big community projects. It's not always just about giving money out. They get so involved in the community. And
yes.
That's awesome.
Yes, yes. So when they made the transition into merging in with Key Bank,
mm-hmm.
and the Key Bank building was built, you know, that's when Bill took the bank from being like this local folksy bank that mm-hmm. we had here and, you know, fully modern bank.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, fully modernized. And that's the same bank that's there today, only his office is empty. Yeah. You know, he's, well, there's somebody in there, but he's not there anymore. He's not there anymore. And I went there, a girlfriend of mine was going in there to ask him for a loan to buy for her business some satellite phones. Mm-hmm. And this was back in the days of Iridium satellite phones. Right. And he politely listened to her and he says, well, let me see your taxes. And she shows them to him and he says, well, he says, I see what you're doing here. And he says, and you're zeroing out. You have no profits on your taxes because you're trying to avoid paying taxes. But now you're shooting yourself in the foot because you're playing this shell game and I'm not playing it with you. So I'm not going to give you any money, you know. And I was like, I was so impressed. I was like, man, this guy's good.
Yeah.
But he was real nice about it. But he told her, you know, you're doing this with your taxes and you're hurting yourself. If you want to be a real business, you need to understand that you have to show a profit and pay your taxes.
Yeah.
Just like everybody
else.
Just
like everybody else.
And I was like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
But so, you know, Bill, he passed away several years ago. Mm-hmm. And, well, he married Mrs. Wagner, Eleanor, and she had a bunch of kids. And he married this woman. I think she had five kids. And he took on this instant family.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, who would, you know, a lot of people wouldn't do it. But now think about what we said during the first quarter. Mm-hmm. His dad married a woman who had a child, you know, so for him, that was no big deal.
No, it really
wasn't. And, you know, when you have a blended family, you know, there's some challenges. Even if you don't have a blended family, you've got kids, you know.
Three of them.
But, so they, you know, they stayed together. They raised a family. You know, he did all of that. And then when he passed away several years ago, it was just such a loss for Fairbanks. Dermot Cole wrote piece after piece after piece about him because he was such a legacy for Fairbanks. And it was a huge loss in one respect.
Right.
Happily, though, most of his personal wealth he put into a foundation.
Yeah.
And the Stroker Foundation is there.
Yep.
And it's active today. And, you know, they had their challenges getting set up and everything. But, you know, the Stroker Foundation is there. And so Bill is carrying on that legacy of supporting.
Through the foundation.
Through the foundation, supporting Fairbanks. Yeah. And it's just fabulous.
Like a never-ending support system from the beginning days on. It's absolutely the best.
Yes. Well, you know, sometimes, I mean, you can, I hope my kids aren't listening. You know, you can leave your money to your kids, you know, but
invest it in your community.
You can also invest in your community.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of resources, and so he did.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing. And everybody is going to benefit from that.
Well, and everybody will tell these stories for years and years to come. I mean, 20 years from now, these stories will be told. 30 years from now, it's Fairbanks. This is Fairbanks.
Yes, and the trustees of the foundation, you know, he had a lot of stuff in his personal papers and archives, you know. And I got to see a couple of things, and they were just so interesting, you know. I mean, this whole life that Bill lived. And then, you know, also his family, you know, things from his family. And what an amazing story it was, you know. And so I said, okay, you know, I've been asked to do this several times. And I went, well, I don't know, you know. And I'm just, I really had a great time learning about it.
Well, you know what I love? I have, too. So, you came in and I said, so what are we talking about today? And, you know, you gave me a little synopsis. And I didn't even think how far this would go and how much there would be and how invested these families were and how tied they are to other families like mine. And it's, you know, I think the beginning days of Fairbanks are so unique and so beautiful that these are stories that I don't think are ever going to get old. The Stroker family legacy will live on forever.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. You know, and that's the part that just impresses me the most.
Yeah, I get a little goosebumps.
Is that it's not, it didn't stop with Bill.
No.
It's continuing.
It's continuing with the whole family, and it will keep going on. And, I mean, there's children, there's grandchildren, and
yes.
they're going to grow up and have families and families of families. And,
yes.
you know, it's an absolute amazing legacy.
It is. It is. And you know, he was a real Alaskan. In 1996, I think it was, you know, he was quite elderly.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Creamer side of the family had, you know, climbed the Chilkoot.
Yep.
His mom was a Creamer. And, you know, I think it was Charlie had climbed the Chilkoot. And he really wanted, you know, that was his uncle, great uncle, I think. But anyway, he really wanted to do that. In 1996, he climbed the Chilkoot.
That is
successfully
awesome.
Climbed it.
Well, Joni, that's going to wrap things up for us this morning. Thank you so much for diving in like you do to all of our Fairbanks history and bringing such a great story to us this morning. Tomorrow, of course, we're on a break. Friday, we'll be back at it. I'll be here again with another guest. Hopefully, we'll get our mayor back into the studio on Monday. You guys have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday. Enjoy your Thursday, and we will see you Friday. Thank you, Joni.
You're welcome.
Conversation. KFAR 660 AM Fairbanks. K248 DK 97.5 FM Fairbanks. The heartbeat of Alaska.